and this idea, and therefore let everything become realized. And it's all actually real then. But as soon as I take on my particular space, in order to take on that particular space, it's very difficult to do that without assuming time to be fundamental. But time is not fundamental. Like, time cannot be fundamental. It is to our existence as particulars, yes, but it's not to being as such. And so that's the place for me anyway. I don't know if I'm making sense here, but I hope I am. But it's this assumption that time as we understand it is fundamental. Is if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe the place where things are getting sticky.
I'd have to sit with that for a while before I can. Yeah, I have to sit with that for a while. So if anyone else wants to jump in.
Just briefly to say that what you're saying, Ken, feels like it rings true with the resonance of that particular experience that I've had and what it feels like to be in that space, which in some sense is timeless, and yet there's a possibility of indwelling timelessness and then still being in your body in the particularities of that dual awareness of, like, I can be that timeless, immensely spaciousness state of being, and at the same time hold the awareness, I'm in my body, I'm in a room, I'm in an apartment in Berlin, I can hear birds outside the window, the world is still happening, I'm still bound to it. But
in order to get there, you have to drop your identities, and you have to drop your right, you can project reality. That's what we do when we set goals for the future. We're projecting a reality into the future, and we're holding ourselves to that. And thereby, we're narrowing our frame space. Right? And you're also doing that when you're bringing along the old versions of yourself, which is something like unrepentance. It's also unforgiveness. This is why you're forgiven to the degree that you forgive. So to live in Christ consciousness, and the theosis space, I think, is something like to be fully present in such a way that you're not projecting anything into the future, and you're not pulling anything forward from the past. And thus, your particularity becomes a through line of awareness as such. But it can only happen when there's none of you left. Like, there's almost, every identity is just kind of contextual, right? It's like, am I a Christian? Well, in a sense, right? Am I a Buddhist? Sure, in a sense, but only, like, but very loosely, and only not in a way that, I don't know if I can say that correctly, so I'm not going to say that.
I just want to say, this feels like the essence of what you were getting at with Paul, which was this dialectic between, is the kingdom of heaven here and now? Is it a non-narrative experience of presence, or is it this towardness that Paul is talking about? And it seems to me there's a dialectic between the two, and we can somehow, the towardness becomes more beautified the more that we can dissolve it into that presenceness and then have it come back through. So
yeah, consider the lilies.
Well, that was beautiful, Ken. I appreciate it very much. And alas, I know
you have to run in 5 minutes, so we will not keep you for another 3 hours. And as much fun as that would be, but this has been quite a joy. A few things. I think it's completely correct to view sin as separation from God and therefore a lack of being. And so therefore, if God saves the world, he somehow fills wherever there's a lack of being. What's very important is by God. So when we say, like, a fundamental belief of Christianity is believing, or I was saying, Jesus is God, what that would also entail is that God somehow engages in a level of emptying. or a level of like darkening to where he can genuinely and fully experience what it's like to thirst, to be hungry, to be rejected, to die. The reason why this is quite important is because if sin equals separation from God, then sin is its own punishment. That's very important. And also, Jesus is thereby where God went. It became possible for God. God went into every possible place where there could be separation from him, the greatest of which would be death. That means there is no part of the universe where you must necessarily be hopeless. If there was any part of the universe where God had not entered, participatory, this is very important, which people say, well, God, well, couldn't God just resurrect you from the dead? Yeah, but he's separate from that. It's an obstruction to God, actually. By going into participation, there is therefore no place in all of the universe in which separation from God must necessarily be the case, because God has participatorily gone into all of those places. And therefore, separation from God is no longer. So the entire horizon of therefore the universe changes in all space of time, because there is no necessary place of necessary separation from God. If I see a green cat once in my life and never again, then the entire universe is a place where green cats are possible. I only have to see it once, and then forever it is so possible. If there is some point in history where God enters and is in particularity, and he undergoes those separations ontologically now, he doesn't literally have to have every single possible participatory experience, which would not be possible as a finite man in humanity. He has to enter into an ontological realm and participate in the essence, which would include the accidents, to use like Aristotelian language, and death would also be its own ontology. But some people could push back and say in the Holy Spirit, he actually does participatory, like the Holy Spirit is another person of the Trinity, and in every one of whom the Holy Spirit dwells, and he therefore has those experiences as well. That's fine. Either model would work. But what you get is a fullness of God's participation in literally everything that human beings has gone through, from the depths of suffering, which in one also means that God takes responsibility for his creation, that he created a thing where there would be suffering and et cetera, so forth. But it also means that there is no place of necessary hopelessness, no place of necessary inability for grace to reach. And so that entirely changes what the universe is forever and so forth. Now, the next thing that I think is, so I agree with everything that Ken was saying on time. And in a sense, you could say the fall is history itself, as in going into history where you have sequence, as opposed to maybe what something like, now I'm going to throw out Bergson's duration, but eternity, Bergson's duration seems to be closer. Don't ask me about any of that. But where sequence itself and being stuck in finite points seems to be kind of a very feature of separation from God, which makes sense because God is in eternity and he is not bound by space and time. That doesn't mean there isn't a kind of sequence or a kind of passage in God, but it is one that is not in terms of space-time as we know it. What it is in terms is I think intimacy and love and the nature of how space and time is experienced in love. Because if you believe God is the Trinity, then you believe God that it is his deepest essence, that the deepest essence of reality is love. In a very profound way. And love has a multitude that becomes one yet. God is not a unity like a giant blob, like in the Thing movie or something like that. God is a unity that's more like, I think, the divine and extraordinary end of the second book of the Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis, where he talks about a description of the Trinity as a dance. And where that would mean deepest reality is a dance. And what is a dance? A dance is kind of funny because there are people who are not the same person, and yet in the action, they are the same person. And they're only not the same technically, but practically they are. And the revelation of God is that practical is more real than technical. And so what we see is that in God, deepest reality is a kind of intimacy. And in participating in that intimacy, then has an experience of time and an experience of passage. That is what it is like in eternity. And imagine those experiences where you're totally lost in the lover. How does time pass? How does sequence occur? I bet you it's very different than work. I bet you it's very different than drudgery. It is an entirely different ontological experience that brings with it a temporal reality as well, because those things go together. So the claim of Christianity that I think we can put at a fundamental level, and then you can get into other issues, say Immaculate Conception, baptism, actual resurrection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, has something to do with the notion that God came into the universe emptying himself to have full participatory experience of all of the universe. So there is no point where there must be a necessary separation of God. And therefore there is no point in the universe where there can't be the possibility of full being in the person of Christ. And in believing in him, you simultaneously believe that this individual unveils that God is a kind of Trinity, which I think is important. And in that Trinity, that means the essence of reality is not merely a story, but it is an experience of love and intimacy in of itself, which also unveils that the deepest form of unity is a harmony of many as one, not a blurring of difference into a singularity, which then the story, what's deeper than the story is the dance per se, but the story is the precondition that makes possible the dance, because the story in which God comes into the universe fills in all separation from God. And that means you can be part of the dance as well. That means you are not necessarily separated from the dance, and you can live a life and have an eternity of an experience of that very dance. And the universe is an opportunity to enter into that dance.
That was so fucking beautiful.
Sure, we don't have another 3 hours.
I think we do, because of eternity, there's no bound by space or time or different. I'd love to do it. This has been a I've really enjoyed it, Jake. I'm so glad you organized it.
Yeah, Daniel, thank you so much. That was I could cry. That was so beautiful. It really feels like you've threaded the yarn of this whole thing into something beautiful, and that it feels like a great kind of closing expression. So this has been an absolute gift, and really glad to do it. And not much more to say than that. So thank you all. Any closing remarks you guys want to make, you're welcome.
It's been a blast. Thank you all. Goodness, I've loved it.
Yeah, this has been great. I feel like we're just getting started. And the last point about the dance being deeper than the story is like, it touches on this whole conversation about narrative, and also it touches on experiences that I've had that are very profound to me. And so I hope that the conversation can continue soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it was lovely. I enjoyed it. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
It was a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you all. Real delight.
All right. Thank you all, gentlemen. I hope we can reconvene sometime, and hope the joy of this dialogue can spread outwardly. All right. I'm going to stop the recording here. Thank you.